The book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 10 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And the Italian Band meant that the soldiers had been recruited in Italy. Cornelius was in charge of that group, which consisted of at least 100 Roman soldiers. What does it say about him, though? Verse 2, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was a good man, God-fearing man, because he understood that there was a God and that this God was holy and that he must be worshipped and obeyed. And so he did his best, even though he didn't know much about God. Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. 3 p.m., which is the ninth hour of the day, was the normal hour of prayer for Jews. And Cornelius was not a Jew, and he was not a Christian. But he lived up to the spiritual light that he had. And God will reward him for his faithfulness by giving him more truth and a real opportunity to be saved. See, he wasn't saved yet, even though he was a good man and prayed and gave charity. He still wasn't saved. That wasn't enough to save him. 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And so God noticed his prayers and his good works, which must have been an encouragement. You should be encouraged too. If you pray, if you know Jesus Christ, and you do good works, because God notices every good deed that we do. Now, they're not enough to earn us heaven, but he appreciates them. He takes note of them. Verse 5. The angel said, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Peter doesn't know it, but God is planning a mission for him. It's going to take Peter by surprise because God will use him to teach a Gentile named Cornelius. Verse 7. And when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And so there's no time like the present to obey the word of God, which is why Cornelius immediately does what God told him to do. And he sends for Peter. Most of the time, ignorance of what is right isn't the problem, but rather procrastination of doing what's right. That's the problem. People miss God's blessings because they put off obedience, not because they're ignorant of God's will. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and that would be about 12 noon. The roof was a perfect spot to pray because it was a great place to catch a cool breeze coming off the Sea of Galilee. And so Peter's on the roof, comfortable, praying, and God is going to use this time to prepare him. And God often uses our prayer time to prepare us for what is next. Verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So Peter's waiting for lunch. Meanwhile, he slips into a trance. God is actually helping Peter to focus by putting him into a trance. Because in a trance, a person's mind can be focused. And the reason that it can be focused is because his senses are somewhat dulled. So Peter is pretty much shut off from everything except God. That's the way we should be. I'm not talking about a trance, but in our prayers, we should try to shut ourselves off from everything around us and everyone around us. Shut ourselves off from everyone and everything except God. Verse 11, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending to him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. So it's as if God unzipped the sky and dropped a blanket of animals, birds, and bugs into, well, in the sight of Peter. Verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, this was a shocker to Peter, because in Old Testament days, before Jesus died on the cross, Jews were not supposed to eat the sort of things that were in this blanket. You see, but Peter's in this transitional time between Old Testament and New Testament, and God is saying that old ceremonial and dietary law, those laws have passed away, which also means that the barriers between Jews and Gentiles are gone as well. Almighty God is preparing Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles in the person of Cornelius. 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You know, I think Peter put his brain on pause before he opened his mouth and started talking, because he says something that's so ridiculous. He says, not so, Lord. In other words, no, Lord. Absolutely not, Lord. Now, if someone is your Lord, then you better not say no to them, right? But Peter says, I've never eaten anything unclean, and I'm not going to start doing it now. I don't care what you tell me to do, Lord. Verse 15, and the voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call you not common. In other words, God just put him in his place. Don't contradict me. Don't add something to my word that I have not said. Don't change my word. You know, it is just as wrong to add something to the word of God as it is to remove something. And Peter is adding to the word of God. He is making up prohibitions. He's stiffening the rules. When people add to God's word, that's bad in and of itself, but they often, in the process, alienate people for no reason at all by just piling up all sorts of things that don't belong there, that most of the time act as a barrier between them and God. When people add rules to the Word of God, they make coming to Christ and being saved more difficult than it really is, and it turns some people off. 16. This was done thrice. So three times God let down this sheet, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter questioned in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. God's command to Peter didn't make sense to him. He was trying to figure out what in the world it meant. But the visitors at his door are about to clear up some of his confusion. You've got to work it out. You know, just remember this. When God's word doesn't seem to make sense, just trust him. Trust him. Because sooner or later, he will give you understanding. Verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek you." Peter was confused about what God said, but the answer was at his door. Verse 20. "Arise, therefore, and get you down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Look at verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause? Why are you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of you." God said, "Peter, do not hesitate to go with the men at your door." And then the men tell Peter that an angel said he was to come with them. So his vision was confirmed. I mean, it sure would be nice, wouldn't it, if God's perfect will was always so clear? It's not, but that's okay, because God reveals his will to us the way he chooses. 23. Then called he them. He called them in and lodged them. So he took care of them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter, he wasn't about to disobey God now. Not after the vision that he saw, and not after the men at the door said that an angel sent them, because that went right along with the word of God that he had received. Never believe what somebody says unless it is backed by the word of God. And never believe any so-called revelation or vision. Never agree to follow it unless it is backed by the word of God. And by the way, if it's backed by the word of God, you don't need a vision, right? Well, this was a special occasion. And it says in verse 24, "In the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." So Cornelius, here he is, man. He's all excited about Peter's arrival. You know why? It's because he knew that he was going to hear the word of God. Now, there's a man of God for you. He invited his friends and neighbors over, the people that he cared about, because he knew that they were going to hear the word of God. When's the last time you invited somebody to listen to the word of God being taught? That'd be a good idea, don't you think? And by the way, I would not go near a church that didn't teach the word of God verse by verse. I wouldn't. Why? And on the other hand, there's something wrong about a Christian who doesn't get excited about God's word like Cornelius did. There's something wrong, because Cornelius was normal, the way normal should be.